So we're thinking about joy today, and we're going to have a chance for group discussion in a few seconds. But has anyone seen Inside Out? Okay, if you haven't seen Inside Out, go and see Inside Out. It's a Pixar animation, and the big idea is it's following the life of a girl. What's her name? Is it Maisie?
No.
What's her name? Okay, well, it's not Maisie. Anyway, it's following the life of a girl, and the idea is all of her emotions are kind of become people in her head, and the film follows the kind of control panel, and so you have Joy, who kind of steers the show at certain points in her life, and you have Anger, who kind of kicks into action when her parents are playing up, and you have Sadness, and it's a wonderful film about how all the emotions kind of interact with each other, and it's quite thought-provoking as kids' films often are. But today we're thinking about joy. And I wonder, if you think of such a kind of control panel in your own head, which emotion would you say characterises you as a person? Perhaps it's, if you're honest, it's sadness. You're again, kind of quite a glum character. Perhaps you'd say, actually, it is joy. I'm generally quite a breezy kind of person. Perhaps it'd be a combination of different things. But as we've seen, the Bible has a huge amount to say about joy in particular, and we're going to be thinking that through together today. So what I'd like you to do is, I have got a couple of questions there for you to chat about with the person next to you. What do you think of when you think of joy? And what are some of the things that prevent us from experiencing joy? Just have a chat about that with the person next to you, and just to get the brain ticking, and then we'll come back in a sec. Okay, folks, let me draw you to attention there. It's quite a hard thing to define, actually, isn't it? Joy. You can think of it as a feeling, and perhaps you might think of it as a kind of feeling of deep contentment and happiness. I suppose you could think of it in terms of how you express that feeling. So, you know, you can't stop smiling. You literally perhaps pump the air or jump for joy. You want to hug someone. It's a kind of overpowering feeling that actually sometimes can lead to tears even, can't it? You could think of it in terms of the things that lead to joy. And so we think about maybe the things like knowing that we're loved. We say, when I think of joy, that's the kind of thing I think about. Or the news that a loved one's going to be okay when you were worried about them. And again, that's something that can lead to joy. Or, your kids are off to uni and it's just a wonderful moment in life. And again, those feelings of joy. But I reckon, however, well, maybe that isn't a feeling of joy, I don't know. A feeling of blind terror.
Great joy.
But however you think of joy, I think all of us would agree that it's an overwhelming ultimately positive thing. And it's something I imagine that actually all of us would love to experience consistently in our own lives. But as perhaps you were chatting about as well, there are lots of things that prevent us from experiencing joy in life as well. We don't need to go through them all now because it's obvious what they are. And yet, according to the Bible, actually, God's great desire for us as both the people he's made and also the people he's brought to himself through the Lord Jesus, his great desire for us is to have joy. He wants us to be supremely happy, if you like. But more than that, actually, if we're following Jesus, we're going to see today that God commands us to be joyful. Right? What do you think about that as an idea? Turn up Philippians, which is where we're going to be spending much of our time as we think about this whole area. And we're going to be looking at this in our small groups as well, but we're just going to focus in on a single verse together now. It's on page 1180 if you're struggling to find it. Okay, and have a look at chapter 4 and verse 4. I've actually printed this on the sheet as well. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And the amazing thing is, this is written from a man who's in prison with a possible death sentence over his head. Joy is God's desire for us. And actually, through Jesus, it's a thrilling possibility, no matter what our circumstances might be doing. So first of all, I want us to consider the importance of joy in the Christian life. And just flick through with me as we see some of the times that we've seen it coming up in Philippians. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. So when he thinks about all the ways they're serving the Lord with him, it brings him joy, he says. Have a look at verse 18 of chapter 1. He's in chains, but he says, what does it matter? Well, some people are causing trouble for him whilst he's in chains, but he says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Chapter 1, verse 25. He's talking about whether he's going to be released from prison or not. He says, convinced that he thinks he will be at some point. I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So the way, as you progress as a Christian, he says you should be becoming more joyful as well. You see chapter 2, verse 17. Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, he's talking about his suffering there, on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Flick across the page and you'll see him saying of Epaphroditus, verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him. Chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And then we've got it here in chapter 4, verse 4 as well. You can hardly miss it, can you? And I think it's fair to say that if you were to ask Paul what the central Christian truth is, he would say Jesus Christ. If you were to ask him, what is the central Christian emotion? He would say joy. Absolute, hands down. And what we see in Philippians actually resonates with the teaching of the rest of the Bible. And so I've put some verses down there for you. Another Christmas verse, I bring you good news of great joy, say the angels. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born. And Jesus prays in John's Gospel, praise to God, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, that they, that's followers of Jesus, may have the full measure of my joy within them. That's Jesus' great desire for his followers. And then Matthew 25 is a parable talking about what it'll be like when we get to heaven. And it says, enter into the joy of your master. You see,
joy is right at the heart of what God wants for us. And actually, that's hardly surprising. You see, Jesus himself had a perfectly joyful relationship with God, his Father. And he has come now, see that passage in John's Gospel there, that we too might share in that joy as we have a relationship with God through him. Now, when we think of God, I think it can be quite easy to have a traffic warden in mind. I don't know what you think about traffic wardens. I don't know if you are a traffic warden. Apologies if you are. But a couple of weeks ago, we got a kind of one of those penalty notices slapped on our windscreen, and your heart kind of sinks, doesn't it, when you come back? And you know, you don't have very godly thoughts about traffic wardens on the whole, do you? Let's be honest. And you know, I think sometimes we think, well, God's a little bit like that, like a kind of cosmic traffic warden who goes around slapping penalty notices when we get things wrong and basically trying to restrict us in one way or another. But actually, when the Bible pictures God, it speaks of him as a generous host presiding at a brilliant wedding celebration. There was a church wedding. Jess Sheck, who has been coming along here, got married last weekend. It was a wonderful event. And that, says the Bible, that's what God is like. He wants people to have joy. It's central to his character. Not a traffic warden, but actually a host at a wonderful wedding. You see, an experience of joy should be central to life as a Christian. And one of the great tragedies is people end up looking for joy elsewhere. So we think, oh, well, I could never become a Christian or live wholeheartedly as a Christian because, well, that would mean stopping X, Y, and Z. And we think X, Y, and Z are the things that will really bring us joy in life. And so we don't want to stop them. But what a shame that is, because actually, as we follow the Lord, he offers ultimate joy. So much better than all of those other things. C.S. Lewis puts it wonderfully well in this quote on your handout. He says, it would seem our Lord finds our desires, kind of desires for these other things, not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And it's important, I think, for us to realise how important joy is to the Christian life. Because it's very easy to think of being a Christian in very intellectual terms, isn't it? We think, well, it's all about what I know and what I believe. And so someone might say, well, a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus Christ. That's true. It's also easy to think of being a Christian as basically a moral thing. And so we say, well, being a Christian is about how I behave. And it's trying to go Jesus' way. So someone might say, a Christian is someone who follows Jesus' teaching. Now, both of those things are true for all Christians. But being a Christian is also an emotional thing. It's not just about believing in Jesus and following Jesus' teaching. It's about loving Jesus, experiencing the joy of a living and breathing relationship with God through him. So that's the importance of joy. On to our second point, which is the source of joy in the Christian life. He talked a moment ago about some of the things that stop you from experiencing joy in life. Think back to those things a moment. And I bet almost all of them were something to do with your external circumstances. And so perhaps a close one dies, a personal illness that we have perhaps, such as insecurity at work, or difficulties in my marriage or with my kids. And actually, the world around us longs for joy, but what it tends to say is, well, you've got to get your circumstances lining up in the right way. That's how you find joy. And so you'll have joy if only you find a fulfilling relationship, perhaps. Or you'll have joy if only you work hard and are well-respected at your job. Or you'll have real joy if you just get enough money and have a decent level of security in life and can enjoy a couple of good holidays in the year. And that's where the world kind of says, well, that's where you can find joy in your circumstances. But of course, that means there's not much hope for joy for the person who's going through a messy divorce, or whose kids are going off the rails, or who finds work a bore, or who are struggling with being single, or live in a country where Christians are being rounded up and killed. But wonderfully, Christian joy is not a joy that is based in our circumstances. Very different indeed. Have a look at chapter 4, verse 4 again, of Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. You see, the source of Christian joy is the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who can provide us with the joy our hearts long for. And as you think through all that he's done, it really is amazing, isn't it? His amazing love for us. And so Paul prays elsewhere in Ephesians, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. A love that took him to the cross to bear your every sin in your place. It's amazing, isn't it? All the complete security that we have in him. Jesus says to his followers, I give you eternal life, and no one can snatch you out of my hand now. Or his present care for us. God says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Whatever happens in life, he's working for your good. All the wonderful future we have. He promises it to us for free. No more sickness or crying or pain. Perfect joy forever. You see, the truth is, Paul had an awful lot in life that wasn't worth rejoicing about. In fact, he was in prison. He's facing execution. Other Christians are slandering him. People are distorting the truth of the gospel all over the place that he's been proclaiming. And what about the Philippians? Well, they're facing persecution. There are tensions in their church. One of their dear friends has nearly lost his life. But you see, throughout all of these really hard things in life, Jesus remains absolutely constant and unchanging. And the relationship we have with the Lord through him is utterly consistent. And actually, that means it is possible for Christians to have great joy even in the most difficult circumstances. Because the source of our joy is not our circumstances, but the Lord Jesus. And that's why in Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord always. You might think, well, that's a little bit unrealistic, isn't it? But the point is, Jesus is always the same, and so we can always rejoice in him. Now, we need to say here that we're not being asked to be the kind of like really irritating Ned Flanders type Christians who have a kind of grin on their faces at all times and say really kind of unhelpful, inappropriate things when people are having difficult times in life. It's not saying that at all. And I've put a verse there, that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He says, as servants of God, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He says, actually, it's possible to be deeply sorrowful at hard things in life. And actually, it's appropriate for Christians to be so. Paul says elsewhere, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We should do that. And yet, actually, the joy that we're called to have is something that rests very deeply underneath all of those things, and can actually persevere in the midst of them. It's okay to cry. Jesus himself wept. But whilst that may be the case, it's also possible to have a deep-rooted joy in the Lord who actually keeps hold of us through those times. And it's interesting also that Paul is talking to everyone here. It's true, some people have a particular kind of joyful, bubbly personalities. Other people have kind of more somber personalities. Now, Paul isn't saying that we need to somehow change our personalities and express our joy as if we were some kind of crazed extrovert. He's not saying that. He's saying, actually, as you are the person that God has made you to be, all of us will express joy in a different way. But actually, the joy that is deep down in our hearts should be the same for every follower of Jesus, no matter what your temperament might be. So that's the source of joy in the Christian life. Finally, and more briefly, the discipline of joy in the Christian life. I don't know what you think about that heading, thinking of joy as a discipline. But let me explain what I mean. And notice those two things about Philippians 4 verse 4. The first thing is it's a command. We tend to think of emotions as things that we have little control over, don't we? So you happen to feel happy or you happen to feel sad. But actually here God commands us to be joyful, which means there must be something positive we can do to foster the kind of joy he's talking about in our own lives. Second thing to notice is it's a command that's repeated. It's almost as if Paul knew how easy it would be for Christians to kind of slip back into being kind of overly glum and serious. The kind of people who are terribly sincere, but not much fun at a dinner party. And so Paul underlines it in capital letters. And he says, joy is something that is important to be cultivating in your life if you're a follower of Jesus. In the same way that you want to grow in your knowledge of Jesus, in your holiness of life, in the love you show in your relationships with others, so too we should want to grow in our joyfulness as Christians. After all, joy is a great advert for the gospel, isn't it? I can think of people at St. Mary's who have been through untold difficulties. And you kind of, I mean, you almost kind of quake when they tell you some of the things that they've had to go through. It's extraordinary. And yet, when you see a deep joy in those people in spite of it, it makes you think, wow, what is it that does that? And the answer is, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus that does that. It's a miraculous thing. And it's a wonderful witness when you see it. So how can you grow? How can we grow into such joyful people? Well, I couldn't think of any way of putting it better than this quote from Jim Packer. So let me read it to us. He says this, joy is a habit of the heart, induced and sustained as an abiding quality of one's life through the discipline of rejoicing. Paul can choose to rejoice in one aspect of a situation of which other aspects are calculated to depress. He rejoices that Christ is being preached. He refuses to brood on the bad motives of the preachers. This, more than anything else, makes it clear that joy is a choice. One chooses to focus one's mind on facts that call forth joy. Such is the secret of rejoicing in the Lord always, namely, to choose what you think about. It is as simple and as difficult as that. In other words, actually, the battle for joy is won or lost in our thinking. In any set of circumstances, we can either choose to dwell on the aspects of that situation which are depressing and discouraging, or we can focus our minds on the cast iron truths about God that we know, which will call forth joy. And actually, the more we allow our thinking to be shaped by Jesus Christ and his awesome purposes for us, the more joyful we will be, and the more we allow our thinking to be shaped by the difficulties of our own situation, the less joyful we will be. And that's why I've called joy a discipline. It takes mental strength and self-control to rejoice in the Lord, even when the wheels are falling off. It takes mental strength and self-control to rejoice in the Lord when life is going very well, as well as... It's easy to rejoice in the things that are going well rather than the Lord's. And so cultivating joy is something that we are called to give ourselves to. But could there be anything more wonderful to do? Don't we all long to be joyful, to learn to take great delight in the Lord Jesus, and so be the kind of people who radiate that profound and deep joy, whatever might happen in life? Much more we could say, but we're out of time. I've put a prayer actually on the we won't read through it now on the handout. It's a wonderful prayer written about 1,000 years ago, and I hope you enjoy reading that later on. But let me pray for us now as we close. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 149. The Psalms are full of shouts for joy as we pray. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad at their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honour and sing for joy on their beds. Father, help us to cultivate this kind of joy in our lives. Thank you that you're a God who wants us to be happy and to be joyful. And Lord, we confess there are many circumstances pressing in on many of us that make that a challenge. Thank you that you're not kind of glib and unrealistic. Thank you that you give us permission to weep. And yet, thank you that you promise that the gospel can give us a joy that kind of sits underneath some of the sadnesses that we experience. And we pray that you'd help us to cultivate that and grow in that as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.